No puff portals, no shampoo size limits, just point A to point B. I'm Paul Plant, and this is Aero News. Thanks for downloading us today. As increasing security measures, sardine seating, and overscheduling make airline travel more stressful, many business travelers are awaiting very light jets and the air taxis with great hope. But Smart Air Travel Solutions isn't waiting for jets. The company, called SATS for short, has been running an air taxi operation for 2 years now, using a fleet of Cirrus SR-22s. ANN's Pete Combs took a flight with Steve Hanvey of SATS and got the whole story.
Charter services report an increase of up to 60% in their business, but another branch of the business aviation sector is taking off as well, the air taxi service. That offers many of the same conveniences as air charter, but at lower costs. This is what NASA and the FAA envision when they preach the concept of a small aircraft transportation system, SATS. Well, meet SATS Air Chief Steve Hanvey. Only in this case, SATS stands for Smart Air Travel Solutions. Steve arrives exactly on time, not at Charlotte Douglas International, but at Monroe Regional Airport, southeast of the Queen City, near the border between North and South Carolina. Hanvey explains, that's one of the advantages of an air taxi service.
Hey, you could come out to the beautiful terminal at Monroe, right outside of Charlotte, and fly into Peachtree to cab. Whatever's the closest part of the city, when we talk to our customers, we don't say, are you going to Atlanta? We say, what part of Atlanta are you going? Give us the street address. We then find the airport that's the closest to the street address and offer that airport. We'll be glad to go into Hartsville. It just takes a lot longer. You get in the traffic. Some of the same issues when we go into the big airports apply to us. We're in a long taxi line behind a 777. And like a taxi in a city, if you're waiting in traffic, you're paying for it because we charge only when you're in the aircraft. From the time the engine starts until it shuts down, you don't pay for the rest of the flight cost like you would in a traditional charter. So we're able to go like a charter to any airport. But the second thing that is a little different about our service is we can go in much smaller airports, down to approximately 2,500-foot hard surface runways, which there's over 4,000 of those in the country. And it allows you to really think about who's close to your relatives, what's close to your business, or to expand your business in areas where before it took 6-7 hours to drive, you had to spend the night, there really wasn't accommodations. In some of these smaller cities where for economic development, it allows you to go to any small airport. Because there's a whole lot of airports all over this country that are sort of underutilized. And what we've done over the past 25 years, for good reasons, businesses have conglomerated around big cities. And so you have the 20 or so major hubs, the 200 regional hubs, and then there's over 4,000 plus other airports. Well, we can go to all of those airports, and that's the advantage, a lot more flexibility.
Now, a charter, traditional charter, I couldn't afford it. None of my friends could afford it. This is different.
We were a charter company before, so we're well familiar with the prices of charter. And fundamentally in charter, you're going to pay for positioning the airplane from wherever it is to pick you up and then back to its home base. We have geographically put airplanes throughout the Southeast. You don't pay for those aircraft even if they have to reposition. It's only from the time you physically are in the airplane until you land. Our cost structure covers some of the repositioning cost, but because we have a larger number of airplanes, you're actually spreading that cost over a large number of people. So we're able to be closer to an airline in our cost point. And for driving, comparing it to driving as opposed to charter, typically you wouldn't because 5 or 6 hour drive, the charter price might be $2,000 to $5,000 to $10,000 depending upon how many people you're taking or what the size of airplane you took. In our case, we're approximately the cost of spending the night and taking a 5 hour trip both ways. And depending upon whether it's business or pleasure, we fundamentally say we buy you a day on your week's vacation at the beach or up in the mountains. So when you look at that cost, we probably are equivalent to the cost of driving, less than the cost of an airline ticket. But in terms of the absolute cost of the of the ticket, we're close to an airline ticket, but significantly less, probably 20 to 30% of a traditional charter.
So really, when you sit there and you think, what can Joe Average afford, this is not out of the realm of possibility.
No, it is a range of prices. When you get in a taxi cab and you're going to the airport and it's going to cost you $15, if you go by yourself, it costs $15. If somebody happens to be you've never seen them before that want to go with you, you might jump in and share it, but that's not the normal case. But if your family of three goes to the airport, it's still $15. Mm-hmm. So that would be $5 a piece. But if you got on the airline at the airport, each family member is going to pay their full ticket price. Let's say it's $250 to fly to your destination. That's $750 on the airlines. So what we do is you basically buy the airplane for that time period, and whether it's one, two, or three people is up to you, and whatever the range we're going, we work that with the passengers for the number of passengers, how many stops they might have. But our typical flight is only about an hour and 10 minutes.
So really, your typical round-trip flight for a couple of people, you're talking maybe $1,000 round trip,
right,
under that price structure. Now you start dividing it by the number of people you got on the airplane, and suddenly this does make a lot more sense.
Yeah, you might have a $300 cost round trip. But again, I think the key is it's to places you cannot fly to today. So it's a little bit of an unfair comparison to say to airlines in some respect, because they don't go there. And a lot of the charter airplanes don't go there either. Plus, you have the price. So we're providing a personal transportation, literally door-to-door, because we also do a concierge-type service. We'll provide, set up the ground transportation, whether it's a taxi, whether it's something at the airport itself, or certain rental car setups. We have arrangements with those agencies. We will do that all for you. Once we understand your travel pattern, you merely pick up the phone and call our customer service and say, I want to go from Monroe to Florence, South Carolina, to Hilton Head, to Macon, Georgia. We make all the arrangements for you. And once we know your pattern, you're going to that same business or that same location close to your relatives, it's in our database. You only pay us the one time for the way we sell is on block times. We'll sell you a straight ticket. It's just more expensive. But if you know you're flying on a regular basis with us, particularly from a business standpoint, or if you have a house on the coast or a boat on the coast and a house in the mountains or something like that where you're going every weekend, and there are a lot of people that do that, we can actually take you on a regular basis. We look at your usage and then suggest which program, which of the cost structures would work best for you.
Yeah.
So you can actually reduce the cost a fair amount by just being a regular flyer with us. But more importantly, you don't have to get your credit card out every time. You don't have to make a specific reservation. You don't get billed. It's all one time, other than renewing based on your usage.
You set it up.
We try to set it up on something you might use for 6 months. That's kind of our target.
From a business standpoint, air taxi versus charter, what made you switch? What makes air taxi to an aviator?
I think we can service a larger number of people. We have opened up the market by the price point, by the value point, to a much wider range of people. Entrepreneurs and small businesses getting started, particularly in the Southeast, that were that couldn't afford a charter. They are able to afford ours. And here's what's important about a small business is that usually they're dependent upon one or two key people. And those one or two key people, their time is the profit in their business sometimes, or not profit. So by us flying them when they need to travel to grow their business, or when their business is expanded into another city, instead of being on the road, being caught in gridlock traffic, say in Columbia or Charleston, and certainly a big city like Atlanta or New York City, that time when you really have to focus totally on driving, even though you see a lot of cell phones, maybe not the best way to travel, and your ability to concentrate on your business when you get there, you're not fatigued. This is what we hear from our current customers. We have a customer in Knoxville, Tennessee, and one in Myrtle Beach that recently told us the same thing. Your business has been the single largest factor in the expansion of my business. One guy's expanded down the coast, and I don't want to say who they were, but and the other one said there's been two factors in the last 5 years that have expanded my business, the Internet and Sats Air. Now, to be put in the same category, Sats Air, that's the real answer about air taxi. It's like the Internet, where instead of having early on days you had to go to a major search engine and then you had to go two or three steps to get to where you want. Today you go directly to through your browser to those sites. We're able to go directly to the site you want, not have to work yourself through three or four major hubs. And that's the advantage of having a larger number of airplanes. Well, having a smaller airplane, the cost of spreading the system out to cover the southeast is then a legitimate point for our price. Mm-hmm. They're all related. A big airline costs a lot of money to purchase and to operate and to crew. By having a single pilot and the fact that our airplane has a parachute, which is it's the only one certified like that anywhere in the world, and the safety features we have, which are virtually identical to an airline on the inside, gives you an ability to put a single pilot, small airplane price point that is available to a much wider range of the population for both business and pleasure. About 10% of our business is pleasure.
What is the future of air taxi given this trend towards, first you had to take your shoes off at the commercial terminal, then you have to take all your liquids out and throw them away or put them in your checked luggage. Now, you know, God only knows what's going to come next, Steve. What's the future for air taxi in that environment?
I believe it's enormous. Think the Jetsons to be a little bit carried away. When we come up with an anti-gravity engine, we're there. What we see from our current customers is that the market is as big as the driving market. 60% of our business today is in lieu of driving, not in lieu of airlines or charter. And I think that's because of the hour and 10-minute or so average flight. That may vary as we expand the operation around the country. There are places where, say, Texas, the flights might be longer. Florida, they might be shorter. Northeast, they might be shorter. But on average, that's probably pretty true. And if you look at that, the statute miles you fly, that's about a 4 to 6 hour trip driving. And we think that's the enormous expansion. As people value their time, whether it's for business and certainly for pleasure, or to get back for the soccer game in the evening or the Friday night football game when you wouldn't have made it in the past because the business carried on a little longer, that's the expansion of the business. The same way the computer and the internet have expanded our ability to communicate with people, mm-hmm. We can expand our ability to touch somebody face-to-face, be it for sickness in a family or a business contact that just suddenly popped up. And the other part of the expansion is that we can do it quickly, like the internet does. It's not like mail that used to take a whole week to get somewhere. You now have FedEx the next day, and in some cases people say FedEx isn't fast enough today, and we occasionally get a request to fly a package within an hour or so. We don't guarantee it, but we can respond sometimes in as little as 1 to 2 hours.
Well, you're not going to charge a pre-penalty. I'm not going to pay a 21-day advance or the lack thereof.
No. You pay for what you use. I mean, fundamentally. If the engine's running, you're paying for it. If the engine's not running, you're not paying for it. And the different packages are structured around what your usage is.
We'll hear more in just a moment. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR22 GTS, Cirrus's premium luxury ride that has come to define Cirrus aircraft as one of the world's elite. Every dream option from supple leather seats to an exhilarating 310 horsepower performance and speed come standard, giving new meaning to the phrase fully loaded. When flying the SR22 GTS, getting there is truly more than half the fun. To learn more, call 888-750-9000 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. Clarity Aloft headsets employ patented Comply Canal tips composed of soft viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. More than simple earplugs, these foam tips provide full spectrum noise reduction and outstanding attenuation. This advanced technology is lab tested, proving that viscoelastic passive noise reduction is superior to active noise reduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to our Aero News special feature, Flying with an Air Taxi Service. Is this the future of aviation? Steve Handy is the chief at SATS Air. That stands for Smart Air Travel Solutions. We're on the ramp at Monroe Regional Airport in North Carolina, and he's taking me through the very same pre-flight briefing he gives all of his revenue passengers. And yeah, it's a little windy out there. The aircraft is an SR-22, one of the very few single-engine aircraft certified for air taxi operations, and that's a big selling point for SATS Air, the economics of flying single-engine, single-pilot. Of course, another big selling point is the CAPS system, the one that comes as standard equipment on every Cirrus design aircraft.
You step up on the wing, we'll open the door with this push button, somewhat like a car. And when you open it up, you can either just slide the seat like a car forward and step in the back seat, or in your case, since you're flying up front, you'll just be able to step up and step into your seat.
All right.
The parachute is located overhead between the two front seats. We'll pull this down if you had to use it in an emergency. The flag will be out, and you only have to pull this about 1 inch forward. Just reach up with a hand overhead and pull it forward, and that will deploy the parachute, which will stop the airplane and let it come down at about a maximum 30 miles an hour in a vertical descent, sort of like jumping off of a 10 or 12 foot building. Many deployments with it, not a large number, but they've all of them have been where people have walked away almost without a scratch, with one exception, where he did not use the parachute system correctly. And the only thing, you would only use it if I was incapacitated, and there's a red switch right beside you in your seat that's a mixture. You just pull that back, follow the instructions on this panel, and then pull that handle. For an emergency to get out, all you do is lift it on the ground. If we had to get out for some reason, you just lift this just like a door handle on a car, and then just the gas cylinder, like your trunk in some cars, will just lift it open, unstrap, and then just get out by same thing, reverse of getting a handhold on the step and on the ground. Clear.
You find yourself, when you're in this configuration and you have a passenger, you find yourself being sort of an ambassador of flight.
Oh, absolutely.
Tell me a little bit about that.
I think everybody has in their heart, with very few exceptions, a passion about flying. It's a fascination. It's an attraction. For those that have never been given the opportunity or taken the opportunity to learn to fly, by flying and seeing this kind of view of the world, as opposed to in the back of a cabin airplane, which is a typical charter or an airline, which is majority of people, that's their only experience, they only see the back of the passenger's seat in front of them, and that's a whole view, and then a little small window out the side, like a periscope view of the world. Now you see the vista of what all of us at Fly love, the beauty of the flying down the Savannah River, seeing the beauty of that as you go over the lakes, as you break across to the coast, particularly in the morning, you see the sun coming up over the water. It's just gorgeous. People see that, but what we've seen the most is that if you had never flown an instrument approach into an airport and you're in the clouds, people think you can't see anything. Well, you can see maybe a quarter mile in the clouds, but you see just all gray. But then as you break out, as the runway lights start to come up through the fog or through the lights, people have never experienced that. They're seeing it the same as a crew member. And then all of a sudden the runway's there and you make a transition and touch down. I think that's what people have enjoyed. They're understanding what you're doing and they're seeing it. While they're in the clouds, they can see the airport on the multifunction display, can see the weather that they're used to seeing on the TV, and all of a sudden, flying isn't that hard.
Yeah.
There's some knowledge required, like somebody learning to drive. It takes a while. But this is a simple aircraft to fly, and we've got so much information that helps us and relative to the safety.
And that just thrills people when they see that,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Well, they can see where they are on the airport. There's a situation awareness like being in a car. There's a lot of things about this airplane that makes you feel like you're in a car. It's like an interior of an upscale car.
Like a Lexus.
The knee room is, for people our size, 6'4". You've got another 2 or 3 inches of knee room in the back, even when you're sitting down. A good workspace in the back. We have people that just like to watch the flying.
Uh-huh.
It's an entertainment. We have people that just sit back and go to sleep. We have people that, most people don't. Most people watch what's going on. They're
because
fascinated.
They can see.
Yeah.
Like you said, they can see what you would never see in a corporate or a commercial flight.
I mean, unless you go up and climb over the seats and get in,
in a lot of places you can't do that. This is, I think it's the takeoff and landing that typically people don't see. And that's, I think, the fascination most people get.
This plane in particular is especially safe because of how it was built, what it has on board, and what you've done to it. Can you give me kind of the short answer on that stuff?
Right. It's got the equipment, the collision avoidance for airplanes in flight, the TCAS, ground proximity warning for the ground if it was coming up, a terrain warning, a parachute in case the airplane was going to crash is the reason, only reason you'd use it. And it's the only airplane that has that capability. Even the airlines don't have that. And then what we do to be able to operate with revenue passengers is we have a system that's unique to SATS Air where we predict the health of this engine. And that's a special system that was approved by the FAA. And it's just like an approach that you would take on a turbine on a jet engine.
The non-pilot folks back at the station find the CAP system especially fascinating. Do you get a lot of passengers who want to know a lot about that, where that really makes a difference in the way they feel about flying?
I think there's two things they want to know. Once they know it's there, there's a misconception that you have to wear it in your seat. It's for the whole airplane. And then on top of that, we have a four-point restraint system, four straps instead of two like you'd have in an airline. And there is some crash worthiness built into the cabin. So if we happen to land in a place even under the parachute with the extra protection with the seat and the way you're attached. The main thing people want to know is that it's there. And when they hear it's there, we've had many people that said, I would have never either A, flown period, or B, flown in a small airplane. But the combination of this beautiful view that you have with a lot of glass, the computers, the comfort of the ride, even in turbulence, it's pretty much just a vertical bump. It's not an oscillatory type vibration that you get in a lot of aircraft, and it's very comfortable. And maybe the best thing I can say is we have air sickness bags in the aircraft, and we've never used them in 18 months of operation.
I was going to ask you.
And we've been flying well over 1,000 passengers a month, so it's a lot of people, a lot of database, a lot of people that said they did not want to fly.
You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. On the web, you'll find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.